Welcome to the service of worship for Knox United Church Nepean for April the 28th, 2024. This service is being recorded and the podcast will be posted at 5 o'clock. I'd invite you now to turn to your neighbors and welcome each other to Knox. So there are a couple of things I would just like to mention and then open the floor to other announcements. Next Sunday is communion, and I would hope that people can take note of that and come prepared, or if you're listening at home on podcasts, be prepared for communion there. And I know there's a lot of different things to say. I would just remind you, is there someone here going to make an announcement about the rummage sale, or should I do that? Next Saturday is the rummage sale. You've been seeing posters. This is the week that we start to collect things at the church. So thank you for your restraint and not dumping boxes of things downstairs previously. But after church today, it starts. And there's going to be some wonderful stuff going on and volunteers needed and all of that. So stay tuned. Look at your newsletter and find out more details and look for the posters about what to bring in. And I see the lineup has begun. Neil, why don't you go first?
Neil Rogers from the executive. Just a really quick reminder that on June the 2nd, we are going to celebrate 20 years of Andrew's ministry here at Knox United. So it'll be June the 2nd. It'll be after the service. We're having a potluck downstairs, back upstairs here at 1 o'clock, and we'll have the celebration and a beautiful musical program, people paying tribute. And then we'll go back downstairs for a reception afterwards. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Stephen LaFlamme. I just brought my book, my graphic novel. I have some copies, so in the basement after church, if you're interested, you can come and see me. Okay, thanks.
He had his signing yesterday. It was very successful.
Hello, everyone. Good morning. My name is Bruce Watts, and I represent Knox United at the Manordale-Woodvale Community Association Emergency Response Committee. Now, they set up this committee about a year ago. Other members of our church participated. When I found out what it was about, I have some experience, put my hand up. So I've been on the committee for about a year now, and the whole purpose is to get a preparedness plan for the community, which we sit in. So the event there's emergencies such as energy, electrical shortages, like the tornado that went through, and so on and so forth, so that our community can be prepared. And us as good community members, maybe we can help. So where the committee sits is we've made no commitments on behalf of our church at this point, but I've been sitting there doing some information gathering on behalf of the community. So I've got some posters here. There's an information center session this week. May the 8th, so it's the following week, at 7 o'clock at the Community Association at 68 Knoxdale Road, just down the road. So if you're interested in participating, if you live in the community, and the community is actually expanded to include Craig Henry as well. So if you live in Craig Henry or in this community here, you're welcome to attend. Anybody's welcome to attend, of course, but you might be able to learn some things. There's going to be Red Cross there and the City of Ottawa doing some talks on preparation. They're also, part of our plan is to do a survey for community members to find out what their needs are in the event of an emergency so we can get a better preparedness plan. So if you want to participate in that, the information on how to do that is on their Facebook page, Manordale-Woodvale Facebook page, or with the QR code here if you have a smartphone and you want to check it out. I'm going to put both these on the bulletin board outside. So, any questions? Okay, have a good day.
Good morning. My name is Diana Taylor, and I am here to talk about Red Dress Day, which is next Sunday, May 5th. Here in Canada, all of us live, work, play, worship on land which was never, which was stolen from the Indigenous people. And approximately 4,000 Indigenous women and girls have gone missing. I don't see anybody protesting about that. I don't hear about it much on the media. It's like it just vanished. In 2012, an Indigenous artist put up red dresses in a park, hung them from the trees in sort of a nonviolent protest to the fact that Canadians don't seem to care. And since then, Indigenous women have been doing that in public spaces, and we at Knox have been doing that too. So next Sunday, if anybody wants to help me hang red dresses or wants to donate a red dress, we're going to hang them in front of the in front of Knox Church. Thank you very much.
Hi, Glenna Gray. I mentioned last week that Nepean Choir is having a concert on the 11th. It's at Dominion Chalmers. The tickets are $35. You can buy them online or you can ask me and I'll get you some. It's Mozart's Requiem and Sunrise. Was it Sunrise? Sunset? I sing it, but you know. Mass. And it's four different choirs combining together that are all, two of them are high school choirs that are all have the same director. And we've hired members, 10 members of the Ottawa Symphony Orchestra to. So it's a big production for us. Please support us. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Allison Cranius, and I'm here to tell you about the music. The choir's been going really great, and they're going to be singing an anthem for you next Sunday. And also next Sunday, we're starting band practices. Those will be going through May on Sunday mornings from 11:30 to 12:30. And I'll be handing out music today. If you play an instrument and you need some music to start practicing, you can come and see me. Or if you have any questions, and it's for adults and youth as well, also join. So if you'd like to come, you can talk to me after the service or just show up next Sunday at 11:30.
Morning, Sharon Roy, and I do chair the worship committee. We had a meeting last Sunday, and something that we're talking about doing is having a Vesper service one evening. Vesper service, jazz service. We haven't quite put the meat to the bones, but I wanted to ask a question of you folks here, and it's a good crowd today, so I thought it was a good chance. Without a commitment to it, can you show your hand and tell me if this is something you would be interested in? Okay, worship committee folks, worship committee folks.
This would probably be an evening service.
Yeah, it'd be a, sorry, did I not say that? I'm sorry, it'd be an evening service during the week, probably a Wednesday. So anybody on worship committee, you can see the hands then that were up. Okay, and a good show here. Okay, thank you. Thank you. More to come.
Does anybody have anything to add? I think these are all of the announcements. If you have good news or prayer requests that you would like to share more widely, call the church office at 613-829-2266. Or by email, office@knoxnepean.ca, and they can be put in the newsletter, which is circulated electronically on Fridays and circulated in paper on Sunday mornings. Let us prepare for worship. Our call to worship is responsive. I would invite you to stand. God calls us together.
We hear us, and we have faith.
God calls us to pray.
We open our hearts and minds to God.
God calls us to sing.
We blend our voices and join together.
God calls us to live.
We refresh our faith here and carry it into the world to live with love.
Our first hymn is in Voices United 377, Holy Spirit, Hear Us. Prayer is a unison prayer, and it is printed in the order of service. Let us pray together.
Hold us in your arms, Lord. Bless us with your love. Whisper in the quietness, Lord. Bless us with your word. Lead us through the darkness, Lord. Bless us with your light. Touch us where we hurt, Lord. Bless us with your healing. And through your blessings, Lord, may we grow and learn to know your presence, always walking with us. Amen.
Our children's hymn is number 400 in Voices United. Lord, listen to your children praying. Now, it's only one verse long, but we will sing that verse three times to allow the meditative qualities of it to seep into us. And I would invite the children to come forward on the last verse.
Thank you. crowd today. This is great. This is great. How are you all doing? Good? Pretty good? I want you to teach me today. So, I want you to tell me, what is prayer all about? Why do we pray? What do when we pray? Okay, silence is one thing that happens in prayer sometimes. That's true. I was hoping for something a little more expressive. What do we do when we pray? Why? What are we doing? We practice it. Yeah?
Talk to God.
Good start. That's exactly true. We talk to God. Now, when you talk to someone, is it a real conversation if only one person does the talking? No, that's right. That's kind of a lecture. So, God doesn't need us to lecture. But we sometimes need to listen to God too. So in prayer, we can listen for God. Now, how does that work? That's a tricky one. Do you expect that you say, "Hi, God," and then this great big voice comes out of the clouds going, "Hi, how are you doing?" That's not usually how it works, is it? No, because in the Bible, it describes the voice of God as a still, small voice. God speaks quietly, sometimes in our hearts, in our minds, in ways that don't even sound like a voice at all. It sounds like maybe an idea or a push in a certain direction. And so when we talk to God, we should listen to hear what God says back. Now, do you suppose that what prayer is for is to get stuff? Good. I'm glad you're shaking your heads on that one, because sometimes people think it is. And sometimes people treat God like Santa. That's not how it works. I mean, you think about God, and God who created the entire universe, the sun and the moon and the stars and this planet that we're on and the air that we breathe and us going up to someone that powerful and amazing and say, "Okay, I really want a transformer for my birthday," or the new video game or whatever. That's not what prayer is about. That may be what we really want, but is it what we really need? It's okay to ask God for things that we need. And so something that happens in prayer is we stop and we think, what is it we really need? And sometimes when we stop and ask that question, God will answer us, because we'll start to understand better what we really need. Suppose it's okay to ask for things for other people? That's a trickier one, isn't it? What if someone's sick and you want to ask God to help them get better? That's a good one? Yeah, that's a good one, isn't it? There are ways that people need help. And if we stop and think about how people need help and then ask God to help them, that is a good thing, because it's not selfish. And God wants us to think about and love other people too. That's always a good thing for prayer. We can pray about a lot of stuff. We can pray about lots and lots of stuff. There's no limit to what we can pray about. But we have to remember that we're talking not to God, but with God. And we're listening. And we're trying to connect in a way that helps us understand God better. Because God already understands us. So prayer is good for us. And it's a good way for us to connect with someone so powerful that the whole universe is something that God could do. And we can't even imagine what that's like. So it's sort of amazing that we have this privilege, this special gift, to be able to talk to the one who made everything. And we know that God listens and answers back. So we practice. Fold hands. Why do we fold hands when we pray? That's a good question. Any ideas? It's not a rule. I make you do it so you don't pick your noses. Or do anything else like that. Like, you know, when your hands are free, they can be very fiddly. So it helps us focus. It makes sure our hands aren't busy so our thoughts can go to God. So that's why we're folding our hands. So let's fold our hands. Hey, you're welcome. Come on.
Fold your hands. We're at the prayer part of things. Let's pray.
Dear God.
Thank you for listening to our prayers. Help us to listen to you.
Whenever we talk to you.
Open our hearts and minds.
So we hear your still small voice.
And learn what's good.
And learn how to help.
And learn how to love.
Look into our hearts
to see the people we're worried about.
Maybe they're sick.
Maybe they're lonely.
Maybe they have other problems.
So we ask you to help them.
And show how we can help them too.
Amen. Thank you. Down you go.
A responsive psalm for this morning is Psalm number 86. It can be found at page 803 in Voices United. And we will, as always, sing the refrain. So Allison will play it through once, and then we will rehearse it before we begin the psalm. To me, O God, and answer me, for I am poor and in misery.
Preserve my life, for I am faithful. Save your servant, for I trust in you.
Be merciful to me, my Lord, for I call to you all day long.
Gladden the heart of your servant, for to you I lift up my soul.
For you, my Lord, are good and forgiving, and great in mercy to all who call on you.
Give me, O God,
among the gods, there is none like you, my Lord, nor can the deeds of any be compared to yours.
All the nations who have made shall come and bow before you.
They shall glorify your name, my Lord.
For you are great and do marvelous things, and you alone are God.
Turn to me then, and have mercy. Give your strength to your servant.
Save your handmaid's child. Give me a sign of your favor.
Then those who hate me will see and be ashamed.
For you, God, have held us up and comforted me.
Morning's lesson is taken from Romans 8, the very short verses 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with groanings too deep for words, and God, who searches hearts, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God.
Thank you.
Our gospel lesson is taken from Matthew's gospel, chapter 6, verses 5 to 15. This is a portion of the Sermon on the Mount, and it is Jesus' reply to his disciples asking about prayer. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, may your name be revered as holy. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Here ends this lesson. Thanks be to God for these readings of the Word, and to God's name be praise and glory forever. Amen. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our salvation. Amen. So, you may recall that back in March, I was inviting people to submit Ask Andrew questions, and I've received 4 in total. This is the second Ask Andrew sermon resulting from that. And the title is, How, When, and Why Should a Christian Pray in Public? The in public I added to the original question, because of reasons that came in the very long paragraph that followed explaining what the question was all about. But there are sub-questions that came, and they were quite specific ones. Are only trained clergy qualified to lead prayer? Do we only pray in church? Can kids pray? This is the third Ask Andrew question to deal with prayer. The others appeared in 2011 and 2017, I checked. But it's interesting because each one has had a different emphasis. Prayer is a very rich topic, and there are so many things that we can address in the question of prayer. This one came with a rather long explanatory note, giving me a great deal of help because that helped me focus on what the real issue was. And one of the main concerns raised was how so many people are uncomfortable leading prayer at church activities. You know, the beginnings of meetings, maybe meals, other types of gatherings. Lots of situations where everybody's happy to ask the minister to lead prayer, but rather squirmy when they are called upon to do it themselves. So I'm going to take care of the sub-questions in reverse order because they won't take very long and some of them are quite basic. Can kids pray? What did you just see? Of course they can. Even if it's only an now I lay me down to sleep sort of a learned prayer, I encourage having children learn to pray. Prayer is communicating with the greatest power in existence, and that doesn't just happen. We have to learn to open ourselves up to that kind of communication, to that kind of relationship. And like anything, it's always easiest if we start to learn when we are children. Very much in that sense, like learning a language. That's why I try to model prayer at the end of each children's time in worship, so the kids can practice. And I'm really delighted that, although it didn't happen at first, now the grown-ups are joining in every week. That's really good, and I encourage that to continue. Second one, do we only pray in church? I hope not. Church is a good place for prayer, but we can pray anywhere, anytime. I discovered this personally on a patch of black ice in my dad's old Pontiac Acadian on the Trans-Canada Highway in Quebec. Prayer has no boundaries. That one was quite cool because I hit the black ice. I couldn't tell what it was. I ended up spun around across two lanes in the snowbank on the fast lane facing the wrong direction. And then a whole pile of cars came over the hill and went very slowly past me. If I'd been about a minute later, I would have been a bowling ball amongst pins. And so that was wonderful. And prayer answered, in my opinion. A personal prayer and group prayer share some things in common. All prayer invites us to reach beyond ourselves, focus our thoughts and our feelings on a power beyond ourselves. We usually call that God. All prayer invites us to express our needs, but as I said to the children, also to consider the difference between what we need and what we want. Prayer is not an excuse to trot out a Christmas list. It's not an invitation to be selfish, although sadly, it often gets used that way. All of prayer is an invitation to consider the needs of others, to pray for us and not just me, and also to pray for them, whoever they might be. To seriously consider the needs of someone different. It's an invitation to real empathy, to put ourselves in somebody else's shoes and see what they need. Praying alone, by yourself, that can be very meditative. It can be intensely personal, you know, where the Spirit has to intercede with groans too deep for words, as Paul gives us in that wonderful expression. And personal prayer that way can feel very much like a conversation, even with spaces of silence left for God to fill in the blanks and for us to listen for that still small voice of God that can whisper clearly only when we create a silent space for it. Leading prayer for a group or any kind of public prayer does make us nervous, and legitimately so. If you were listening to the gospel lesson from the Sermon on the Mount, that portion that happens just before Jesus recites the Lord's Prayer is a warning, do not pray in public. And so it has helped us to the conclusion that any kind of public prayer is best avoided. Context matters, though. Things have changed since Jesus' day. Jesus was speaking to a culture where most actual worship happened at home. And you can be sure that every Sabbath, a family member led those prayers, not some visiting priest or Levite who'd been invited to supper so they could pray. Blatant public prayer in the synagogue or on a street corner was a way for people to show off their religious piety, to demonstrate to everybody else how holy they were. In other words, it wasn't really about prayer. It wasn't really about connecting with God. It was a kind of bragging. Not prayer at all, and very selfish. In the Reformed tradition of the church, which is the tradition that embraces us, we have believed for over 500 years that every Christian gets to pray. Every one of us gets to connect directly to God without some sort of official Christian acting as an intermediary. We have declared very deliberately 5 centuries ago that Christ is the only intermediary we need. Our worship doesn't happen at home in the same way as it did in Jesus' day. It often involves a public gathering like this one. And that is supposed to include prayer or some other worship focus to prepare us for our experience, either of the work that we are doing together or whatever else is happening. And frankly, in the traditional thinking of the church, this thing that we call liturgy comes from the Greek liturgos. Lai is the laos, the laity. Urgos is work. This worship is the work of the people. That's what that word has meant for 2,000 years. And so we prepare ourselves for that experience, for that work, in prayer. And ideally, anybody in the church should be able to lead this. But as I said, people are timid about it. So let me share some pointers. There will not be a test later, but I'm tempted. Leading prayer for a group is obviously not about personal issues. Somebody gets up to lead a group prayer and then starts talking about all the things they are personally concerned about. That feels like an abuse of a leadership position. It is, in fact. Just like those public prayers that Jesus warned against. So if you find yourself in the position of leading prayer for a meeting or a meal or some other activity, it's important to remember that situation and to remember the needs of the whole group that's gathered. If you find yourself called on in that circumstance to lead prayer and you really are at a loss and you're terrified, well, leading everybody in the Lord's Prayer is always a good option. Or, for example, for a meal, one of those prayers that you learned at church camp to, I'm not even going to try right now. There's a lot of church graces that probably people know, and many of them can be sung, and that can work very well for a meal. Nothing wrong with those. But for a deeper experience, it is best to try and pray by first asking yourself, why are we gathered? What do we hope to accomplish? Going back to the Lord's Prayer again, it's a great template for any prayer. And you'll notice it starts by acknowledging our relationship with God and God's higher perspective. And our vision of making God's plan actually happen on earth. Those are not bad things to remember for any prayer that we enter into. Remembering those things might make us think twice about pushing our own agenda or perspective, might help us to listen more carefully to others, to try and hear if God is speaking through them when we meet. Might also lead us to ask for wisdom or inspiration or insight or guidance. All good things that the church needs whenever it gathers. Always appropriate subjects for prayer. In the Lord's Prayer, we ask for daily bread. Well, that's basically a request that our needs be met. And that request might help us to stop and think about what our needs really are. Now, not everybody's going to agree on that one, and you don't want the prayer to become a staging ground for a debate. But if you honestly have a sense of what needs to be brought forward, that's a good place to bring it forward, because what you consider may be a new thought or a spark of an idea for someone else. The thing about forgiving trespasses or debts in the Lord's Prayer, that's a reminder that none of us get it right every time. And frankly, that's an important reminder as our society gets more and more polarized. As people become accustomed to the nasty language of online trolls, it's also a reminder that we need to forgive each other, which helps us embrace our purpose as we in the church try to bring people together and overcome the things that keep us apart. Lead us not into the time of testing or trial. That's not a bad way of reminding us that we're actually not in control of everything in life, are we? There are things that are beyond us. There really is a higher power out there, and that's who we are talking to in prayer. So what's wrong with asking for some help? What's wrong for asking for a way to deal with things that feel too big, that are overwhelming, that feel like they're just going to run us off the road? Look at those elements. Acknowledging God and God's purpose for us, that could include thanking God for all the blessings we appreciate. Acknowledging our own limitations, acknowledging our need to be patient with others and accepting of them. Asking for what we really need, including spiritual and material necessities. Asking for help for others and ourselves. These are all great things that we can include in just about any prayer, just about any situation. But not every prayer has to include every bit. Saying grace at a meal, for example, should focus on thankfulness. Thankfulness for the food itself, for the sharing and the fellowship, for the gathering together of the family of faith. Praying to open a meeting should focus on what the meeting is about, including our overall purpose as faithful people, but the specific purpose as well of the group or the committee that has gathered. The very act of praying, and this is why it's so important to try and have something like this happen whenever we gather, the very act of praying is a reminder to us that God is here. The act of praying can bring us back to our purpose and draw us closer to God and each other. The language of prayer can, I think, should be plain and direct. No need for these and thous. There's a longer explanation for why that happened, and it's a mistake. It was never intended that way. These and thous were originally language that actually were more personal, more intimate, and they've become more distant and really have become inappropriate. No, the language should be plain and direct. And Jesus specifically warns us against heaping up empty words. So just speak as if you were talking to someone that you love and respect. Remember that you're connecting with God for the good of all who are gathered. You can do it. Anyone can do it. Amen. Prayer has been a topic for a very long time, and that's why this hymn is so old. But it's a familiar one, and it's a good one. 672 in Voices United, Take Time to Be Holy.
Thank you.
Your offering will now be received. Sermon, let me just point out that the psalm that we read together earlier was a prayer. The music that we just sang is a prayer. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Thank you, God. You've given us everything, the very air that we breathe, the people that we love, the time that we have in our lives. We thank you with all our hearts. And these gifts that we bring now are gifts that you gave us first, and we bring them back. May they represent the way that we transform the gifts into our lives as gifts from our lives to serve you, to change this world, to offer your grace and love wherever we go. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. For those who ever want to lead worship as an entire worship service, there are prayers assigned to different parts of the service for different purposes. And at the beginning, the opening prayer that we've kind of shortened in that form is traditionally called the prayers of approach and the prayers of confession and the statement of forgiveness and all of that sort of thing as an appropriate way to approach God. And then the prayer that we have here is an appropriate response prayer because it is supposed to arise out of all of the service of worship, and the words thanksgiving and intercession should explain why that prayer happens at this part of the service, where we thank God for things and where we pray that God would intercede in our lives and in our world for the people who have needs. And then, of course, the Lord's Prayer is part of that as well. Let's pray. Loving God, it's incredible that you who created the universe should listen to us. You know, we might get it as a theory, but to imagine a personal relationship with the Creator is just kind of mind-blowing. But we thank you for this privilege and for the privilege of coming to you in prayer. So many things come with us when we pray. There are burdens on our hearts, confusions in our minds. We have things that we need and things that we want, and often we can't tell them apart. But your love is here for us. We thank you for that love, for the promise that you hear our prayers and that you do respond, even if sometimes your answer is wait or no. Help us to be trusting as we come to you. Help us to expect things to change because we pray.
Help us, we pray, to really draw close to you and to listen and to seek inspiration that you give so freely. These are wonderful gifts. Help us not to take them for granted. And help us in every time we come together and we pray to look beyond ourselves. Look into our hearts, gracious God, as we pause in this moment of silence. See the people that we wish to pray for, their needs and their concerns, the places where they need healing, the places where they need hope or companionship or other kinds of help. Look into our hearts and hear our silent prayers. We thank you, God, for your involvement in our lives and in this world. Help us make a difference each and every day as we follow the example of Jesus, who taught us to pray together in these words: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And our closing hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, 664 in Voices United. Go now in peace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with each one of you this day and forevermore.